The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Wednesday, so you know what that means. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, how are you, sir?
It's a pleasure. I got you here today, so it's 2-on-1 against him down there.
Oh, you know it. Always. But you don't need the help. Good to see you, sir. And Stephen A., how we doing out there in Memphis? Causing trouble, or
First of all, I am staying low key. There is no doubt about it. That's number one. Number two, I like the outfit, Molly. I approve. Number three, Mad Dog, fix your tie, get it together. And number four, Mad Dog is absolutely right. It is 2-1 because Molly's always trying to tag team with somebody to take me down. But it's all right. I'm ready. Let's go.
You're just such an easy target. And so easily flustered. So, you know, it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. All right. We know why you're out there, right? The Grizz hosting the Nets tonight. But the Grizzlies will be without their best player. Ja Morant out with a knee injury. But here's the silver lining. The Grizzlies have done much better than just pick up the slack without Ja this season. They are 14-2 when he doesn't play and have a points per game differential that would lead the NBA. Stephen A., how far can a healthy Ja take the Grizz?
I would tell you that there's a possibility he could take them to the conference finals. Now, I'm not of the mindset that they're going to be the healthy Warriors team, but I'm in Memphis, and we're in Memphis for a reason, because we're giving the Grizzlies props where it's due. They called for us to be out here. They talked about they wanted all the smoke. They said we climbing up the chimney. We want all the smoke. And they have performed like that. Ja Morant is a superstar in the making. He's averaging 27 a game. If he ends up being out tonight, I would be incredibly disappointed because I know he's ruled out for this game, but I'm not ruling him out. I'm ruling in the possibility that Ja Morant is going to change his mind. That despite that knee soreness, he's going to see KD, he's going to see Kyrie, and he's going to say, yo, I need to be a part of this smoke. Because that's the kind of character these brothers have. If he misses this game, we know he's legitimately injured. Make no mistake about it. Ja Morant is a baller. He wants to play all the time. He ain't looking to take days off. Had a back soreness the other day when he missed the game against Indiana. Anticipated to miss tonight, but this team wins games without him, not just at home, but on the road with Bane, with Dylan Brooks back, with Jaren Jackson, with Steven Adams, with this kid Anthony coming off the bench as a guard. The list goes on and on. They're exciting, they're athletic, and they're young, they're hungry, they're not scared of a damn soul. And that is why NBA Countdown is in the house tonight for this game. They summoned us, they said we are for real. And, oh, by the way, here's the greatest part about Ja Morant being that kind of star. Maybe, just maybe, I'll be able to travel around town in Memphis and stop seeing these damn billboards of Elvis. Elvis is dead. He's not coming back, people.
Whoa,
they don't. I'm telling
very
you, this billboard.
He's a legend. His music and spirit live on forever.
Now?
Come on.
Oh my God.
Whoa. I know all of this about Elvis, but they got billboards around town like he's better throw a concert or something. No. Stop it. Okay, Ja Morant is here, and the bottom line is those are what the billboards need to be. That's why we here. Memphis got a chance, doggy. Memphis has a chance.
Well, first off, mm-hmm. Stephen A. wasn't around in 56 when Elvis was out with Ed Sullivan and began rock and roll, baby. Oh, he wasn't around then. So don't sit there and Morant, he's a heck of a player, but that's typical Stevie. He puts him on his level where he isn't there yet. And then they won a couple of playoff games last year. They beat the Warriors, who were depleted. They got annihilated by Utah, and now Steve's got him in the NBA final. Take it easy. And remember, it's a young team. Young
conference
teams
finals.
For the first
conference
time want to win a lot of regular season games. That's what they're into. You know what? We haven't been in a two-seed spot before. So they play every game like it's game seven of the NBA final. And this, when he gets into the postseason, first off, he's going to have a tough first round because he's going to maybe even play LeBron in round one. And then number two, as you said, he's going to have to deal with Golden State. And I would think a healthy Golden State, despite what Green said all last night, we'll get to that. Despite a healthy Golden State, I'm not sure if the Memphis is going to beat the Warriors in a second round playoff series. And to sit there and say, well, he won a round in the opening round of the postseason, so now we're going to put him up there with the icons of the sport. Let's take it easy. And to sit there and make, and you should know better, in Memphis, the home of Elvis, and now we got to put billboards up of Morant, who has won two playoff games in his life. And listen, I like him too. I hate to even knock him. I'm a fan. I understand. But he doesn't shoot threes well. He's not a great three-point shooter. And this Memphis team has basically done nothing. And you got him up there with the with Gracie Mansion. That's a little rough, Steve. I love you. That's a little, even you agree. That's a little rough.
Oh, please. First of all, you lost the argument when you started off with Elvis in 1956 talking about the rock and roll. I mean, you guys, give me a break. Give me a break. Just stop. Elvis, listen, obviously he's an iconic figure. His music will live forever. But Elvis is dead. He is dead, people. I mean, I don't know if people in Memphis know this. I mean, somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them, okay? That's number one. Number two, the Memphis Grizzlies are here and now. I'm not trying to act like they're going to the finals. I'm not sure I believe that. I think they're a bit too young. But these brothers are young. They are athletic. They've got length. They go after it. They can hit perimeter shots. They block shots. They pass the ball. They are unselfish. They don't turn the ball over much. There's a lot of components that come to their game that justify the level of hype that they're particularly receiving at this moment in time. They are 49-23. They are the number two seed in the entire Western Conference, which we have acknowledged is loaded. They win games on the road, but they're going to have home court advantage for the most part. All I'm saying is that this is a team to be reckoned with, and although I'm a believer in the Suns, led by Devin Booker, in the Golden State Warriors, especially when Steph comes back, the bottom line is the second best looking team in all of the NBA this year are the Memphis Grizzlies. That is not, they have looked better than everybody but the Phoenix Suns. Hold it. Who's looked better than the Memphis Grizzlies other than the Phoenix Suns?
Well, it's regular season basketball, Steven. You come on.
Well, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, hold on. Let's ask you this. Here's what you and I are going to discuss if I'm still sitting here in a month or two.
You are.
Here's what we're going to discuss. Here's what we're going to discuss. You know what their barometer is going to be? Let them beat Golden State in the second round. They're supposed to win a first-round series, and they're going to be a higher seed, and they're going to have home court, which you now are so, you know, the grindhouse is the place that you can't win, which is absurd.
Wait,
you think Curry and Thompson can't win there?
Don't do
let
that.
Them,
don't
let
cheat.
Me see
don't,
them
don't,
beat
don't
the
do Warriors.
Let me see them beat the Warriors in a seven-game series, and then you can sit there and tell me that we can talk about billboards for John Morant. How's that?
Well, first of all, I didn't say nationwide billboards, but there is no doubt that in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, in 2022, Ja Morant deserves more billboards than Elvis Presley. Yes, that is not far-fetched to say. That's number one, okay? That's number one, all right? Number two, and more importantly, if you're Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies, all right, what if you go to a seventh game in the Western Conference semifinals against the Warriors? That's not slouchy. They could end up losing, but still garner your respect.
Right,
I'm not picking them to win the chip, but I'm saying respect them. They could go to the conference finals.
All right, so now it's style over substance. Be competitive against Golden State, and we have putting Morant on this high level. That's where we're at right now. So now we're going to say, as long as they're competitive with home court and a higher seed, and as long as they're in every game and win a couple, and even if they lose a game seven at home,
you just said
Stevie,
young.
Stevie's okay with that. So put it on the table. Stevie's okay with that.
Yes. Yes, yes, because guess what? They're young, and they're coming. I'm talking about they're climbing. You got to crawl before you walk. The baby doesn't come out of the womb sprinting and running. You got to crawl, and then you walk, you run. And they crawled last year. They're going to walk this year, and then next year and beyond, they're going to sprint. I'm saying the Memphis Grizzlies are a team to be reckoned with. Period.
So let's go back to the billboard. You started it. Let's go back to the billboard. I'm walking around Memphis. I see no Ja Morant billboards. Let's start it. So we're going to go out there and put billboards. Erase them. Get the guy to erase. You know the guy who erases the billboards? We're going to erase all the Presley billboards, Elvis Presley billboards, because Morant lost his sixth game to Golden State in the second round of the playoffs. That doesn't work that way. You know better than that. You got to win the championship.
You're living in the past. You're living in the past. You need to stop. You need to say you're living in the past. Listen, think about
it. Hold on.
This is what's so comical. Tell me, this is what's so comical about this. You're not even defending somebody against the Ja Morant that's playing. You're defending Elvis. You're literally acting like Elvis Presley deserves to be more recognized than Ja Morant.
What's your favorite Elvis song? Because I'm sure there's a museum you could visit while you're out there.
Down to the jailhouse rock.
There you go. Here's what I want you to do.
That's my song.
When this show is mercifully over tonight at noon Eastern time. When this show's mercifully over at noontime, go back to your suite and get on YouTube and go watch Elvis with Ed Sullivan in 56. Who was an incredible influencer. And then tell me we take the billboards down. Gee whiz. You're better than that.
This man in the year 2022 is defending Elvis Presley. There's nothing here really sports-wise.
He's not getting Elvis Presley.
Stephen A., you should be wearing your blue suede shoes tonight. Get it together. Have a little respect.
And then do something else. Go to the Gracie Mansion.
Hold on.
Learn something.
Whoa. I actually do have on blue suede shoes.
Oh, you
right?
Do?
I actually do. That's
let me
number
see
one.
Let's see.
Okay, that's
maybe you need
one.
To do some yoga
number
so
two,
you can show us your foot.
Hey, yes,
sir! I got him. Well, damn it, I can't twist my foot that way. I ain't that flexible, okay? But I got on blue suede shoes. That's number one. Number two, last time I checked, there's no Major League Baseball team here, okay? Football-wise, excuse me, you got to go 3 hours down to Nashville, okay? So basketball is it. And here you got Ja Morant, who, by the way, regardless of the knee soreness, the back soreness, I'm telling you, if the brother is walking and feeling fine, he will make them change his mind and play tonight because he got that kind of heart about him. I know he's ruled out for tonight's game, which is obviously a bad thing for me because I came here for him. But I firmly believe I'm not ruling out anything. I think Ja Morant might end up changing his mind and changing the Grizzlies' mind and trying to play tonight because he's that type of dude. That's who they got in this town. This is Ja Morant's town, not Elvis. Appreciate him, but it ain't Elvis' town. This is Ja Morant's town. Y'all better get it right.
I don't even know what to say. It's not Elvis's town.
Elvis.
I don't even know.
Penny Hardaway's
town before
I'm driving down the highway. And then Elvis Presley. Let it go.
Blue suede shoes.
Let it go.
Time for some quick takes. Hey, Stephen A., on a happy note, did you see Trae Young last night? Destroyed your Knicks. He just dropped a cool 45. Take a listen.
One atmosphere to play in. But any night you're able to play basketball is fun, so I try to enjoy it.
Were the boos as loud as you expected them to be tonight?
Nah, I couldn't really hear them for real. It wasn't even that loud, to be honest with you.
Stephen A., talk to me.
Trae Young's a star, and what I love about him is that he answers the call. He reminds everybody what the NBA is and should be about. You know what? They ain't skipping games. He's showing up, and he's balling. He's averaging 28 at Madison Square Garden. This brother is something special, and even though I don't like it against my Knicks, I love the fact that they chide him and they mess with him, and then he answers the call. I wish the Knicks had somebody like that. That's my response.
And I agree. Listen, he's a great – I like to have him act like he's been there before and maybe not make so much noise and agitate the Knicks fan base. I'm not sure if you have to do that. But as far as his greatness is concerned, we are on the same page. He's a great point guard.
All right. I got another one for you here, Stephen A. Mary Kay Cabot reporting that the Steelers, your Steelers, could become interested in Baker Mayfield if he becomes a free agent. Do you like this?
No, not interested at all. He's a Brown. He doesn't need to be contaminating the Steeler nation and the Steeler franchise and the Steeler tradition. He's good, but he's not great. And as far as I'm concerned, there's not that big of a difference between him and Mitchell Trubisky. I would have much rather preferred to have had Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, or Lamar Jackson wearing a Steelers uniform. But if we're going to go the route of bringing somebody in, they damn sure don't need to be an average to good player from the Cleveland Browns. No, thank you. Go, let him go someplace else, like Seattle or something.
You think Baker and Trubisky are comparable?
I mean, Mayfield's a little better, but for a change, he hit two in a row. Yeah, he's right on this. No question about it. I wouldn't want Mayfield on my team either. He's an okay quarterback. That's as far as we're going to go. He's not going to lead the Steelers to a championship. I also wouldn't want to have a Cleveland Brown on my team either if I was a Pittsburgh Steeler. I mean, I'd find a team, you know, Carolina, Seattle, but why would it have to be Pittsburgh? Stevie A, 2 for 2, give him that. He's right. Why would you want Baker Mayfield? Trubisky's not any good, but he's not really. Mayfield's a little better, but it's not worth your aggravation.
Well,
he's right about that.
All right, well, keep in mind, Baker
Let me
Mayfield
say this
did
about
have a
Mitchell
shoulder
Trubisky
injury
real
last
quick.
Season, so let me just put that out there.
Yeah, he did. Well, I'll put that out there, but also Mitchell Trubisky was coached by Matt Nagy during his first struggling years. The reality of the situation is Mike Tomlin is a different animal, and the Steelers offense will be a different animal. And I think as a result, Mitchell Trubisky, who has wheels and can move and is mobile, unlike Big Ben Roethlisberger at age 39 in his swan song, Mitchell Trubisky could make some good things happen. I don't think he's that great, but I think that we're going to see better from him than we saw in Chicago.
All right. How about Derek Carr? Davante Adams is down. Listen to this. Fulfilling a childhood dream, playing for his Raiders and reuniting with his former college quarterback at Fresno, Derek Carr. Take a listen to what he said at his introductory press conference.
Me playing in Green Bay, great situation. Having, you know, greatest quarterback to play the game. You know, that's a dream in itself. So I'll never take anything away from, you know, anything Green Bay gave me or, you know, Aaron gave me. It was an amazing opportunity to work over there and do what I did for almost a decade. But, you know, things change sometimes. It's not the first time that an impactful player to an organization had to leave. I feel like it worked out for both sides ultimately.
A win-win for everybody? What do you think? Was it a mistake, Russo, for Devontae to leave the Packers?
Absolutely. If you're Devontae Adams, you leave Aaron Rodgers. Ask Mike Holmgren when he left Favre to go to Seattle how that worked out. Why would you leave this quarterback? This quarterback is so much better than Derek Carr. I mean, Carr's okay, but did anybody see Derek Carr against Cincinnati in a postseason where he spiked the ball and cost himself a down on the last series of the game when they were trying to tie it, one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen a quarterback make. And then on fourth down, didn't even throw the ball in the end zone on the incomplete pass, which the Raiders trying to tie the game. When you have that kind of quarterback at your disposal, and he would have him for the next 3 years, and you're also playing in that great city for football compared to Las Vegas, which doesn't compare, you don't leave him. Assuming the money was comparable, you don't leave him. You don't go, why? Because you played at Fresno State for a couple of years with Derek Carr? I am shocked. I would never. If that's me and I have that quarterback throwing me the football, you know, one of the all-time greats, we all know that. He's not an immortal, but one of the all-time greats. I'm not leaving to go play with Derek Carr, who is not going to the Hall of Fame, who is probably the fourth best quarterback in that division. I'm not making that decision under any circumstances. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked when he went to Vegas. Shocked. Steven?
Stevie?
Well, listen, I hear where you're coming from. I hear where you're coming from because Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. We all know that. The bottom line is this stuff that went on that Davante Adams ain't speaking about, because I don't think you walk away from Aaron Rodgers either, because I think that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest talent that I've ever seen at the quarterback position. That's my position, the greatest talent, even though he doesn't have the resume of a Tom Brady. Having said all of that, I think that you're throwing shade on the Las Vegas Raiders a bit unnecessarily, doggy. The reality of the situation is that Derek Carr is a damn good quarterback. He may not be Aaron Rodgers, he may not be great, but he's pretty damn good. He threw for 4,800 plus yards last year. 23 touchdowns, 14 interceptions is nothing to brag about for 4,800 yards last year. The brother got Darren Waller there, so you got Waller there already. And on top of it all, now you got Davante Adams, which is the number one receiver, and I think that they picked up another receiver as well yesterday. I look at the Oakland Raiders with Jacobs out of the backfield, with a relatively decent offensive line, with Josh McDaniel as your new head coach, with the weapons that he has, and I think that you're going to see an even better version of Derek Carr, who was already pretty damn good. So what I would say to you is that I get where you're coming from if you're just comparing Derek Carr to Aaron Rodgers. But that's not what we're looking at here. I'm comparing the Las Vegas Raiders to the Green Bay Packers. And when you look at how often Aaron Rodgers targeted Davante Adams might have looked around. You don't know what situation is involving Aaron Rodgers. One minute you stay in, one minute you go in, and then all of a sudden you sign for $150 million guaranteed after all of this, all of the song and dance about being disrespected by the organization. You got Lazard, Valdez, Scantlin there as well. Of course, you got running backs out of the backfield, and Dylan and Aaron Jones. But in the end, you had about three shots at the apple. You've lost the NFC Championship game the last 2 years. Okay, I want to try something new. It's with a quarterback that I'm incredibly familiar with, who can make all the necessary throws, who's never had a weapon like me to throw the ball to. I got a big-time tight end, one of the top two or three tight ends in all of football, and Waller as well. And I got a new coach in Josh McDaniels, who's got Super Bowl championship pedigrees in this background. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a bad move by Davante Adams at all, and I don't think you're looking at the big picture, to be quite honest with you.
Well, again, you saw it. I saw it. Those two drives that Carr led in Cincinnati. That's not the 85 Bear defense. In Cincinnati, two drives in the fourth quarter, Carr put up 3 points. And in the last drive, this is a guy, after they got a first down at the 5-yard line with time running out or no timeouts, he downed the boy, spiked it, and cost himself a down. That was the Rodgers wouldn't have done that. Rodgers would have done some other things, but he wouldn't have done that. On fourth down.
What do you mean he would have done some other things?
He didn't throw the ball in the end zone. So even if he completed the pass, which he did, he was intercepted, they still would have lost. He's not as good. Why, Stephen? When you have Rodgers there, who is a top 10 quarterback probably in history, Carr's not going to the Hall of Fame. And he's a receiver. You know these receivers, they're divas. They want the ball thrown to them constantly. They want a lot of yards, and they want all the touchdowns. Why would you leave Rodgers to go play for a quarterback who's not half as good? Why would you do that?
Let me count the ways. Are you going to let me answer? I'm going to answer the question for you. You asked it. You asked the question, right? Yep. Well, here's the answer. Number one, there's Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and there's Las Vegas. That's number one, okay? Number two, you threw the ball to me all the time. Over the last three of the last 4 years, I had a minimum of 111 receptions and a minimum of 1,300 yards three of the last 4 years. That didn't bring me a Super Bowl. Number three, you talked about what Aaron Rodgers done. Let's talk about what he hasn't done. Those first three downs before Matt LaFleur takes the ball out of his hands on a fourth down where Brady only needed a couple of first downs in order to win the NFC Championship game. But the first three downs, Aaron Rodgers didn't get it done, including scampering for a first down at the very least, or even a touchdown because he had a wide open field to run. He missed that. Then this past year, you're going up against Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G to some, porn star Jimmy to me, and what happens? You go against him, and you can't score more than 10 points on your own damn field at Lambeau Field in inclement weather when you had a bye week, so you were well-rested, and San Francisco had to go up against them sorry Dallas Cowboys the week before. And so all of that stuff comes into play. Now I got to also compare, all right, the tight end spot, somebody to catch the ball between the numbers, okay? That's Waller. You didn't have that in Green Bay. Yeah, Tunyon, I understand he got hurt and he's pretty good, but he ain't Waller. I know Matt LaFleur has won 13 games each of his first three seasons in Green Bay. He ain't no Josh McDaniels. We all know that. okay? Because Josh McDaniels, as an offensive coordinator, not a head coach, because I know he didn't get the job done in Denver, an offensive coordinator, the man did a hell of a job, not to mention the fact he learned from the very best. And so this is his second bite at the apple. If I'm Devontae Adams, I got a whole bunch of stuff to look at and say, hey, this is a better situation than what I had in Green Bay.
Surprising coming from the guy who coined the phrase bad man. But I want to focus on Aaron Rodgers. So Devontae
Adams. He's a bad man.
Yeah, but I'm just surprised you're thinking it's a good decision to live the way this argument went. All right, Devontae Adams led the NFL in receptions, receiving TDs, and receiving yards last season. So tell me this, Mad Dog. What does this mean for Aaron Rodgers now not having Devontae Adams?
Well, here's the thing. If Rodgers is this great, he should be able to figure out a way to get these other receivers involved and still be a very effective quarterback. Let's not forget last year's Thursday night game in Arizona when Adams couldn't play and they beat the Cardinals. And he used the rest of his arsenal and they won a game. That's when Murray threw the interception at the end when he was trying to throw the ball to A.J. Green. So if Rodgers is this great, and Stevie and I are on the same page on Rodgers, you know, he's got to get to this next level.
Yeah.
They have draft picks. They got other receivers. Everybody saw the highlight when Lazard was wide open on 3rd and 11 in the cold in Green Bay against San Francisco, and he forced the board Adams the incomplete pass, and then the Niners came down and kicked the field goal. If he threw the ball to Lazard, the Packers would have won the game. And Lazard was wide open at midfield. So this gives Rodgers a chance to spread the ball around a little bit, have a little more confidence in the younger receivers, don't have that bad body language, which sometimes he does. He gets frustrated and he walks off the field with his shoulders sagged and all.
Yeah.
Let's go out there now and let's get everybody else incorporated with your team. Let's show some confidence with them. Let's go back to them and throw the ball to them and have a couple of drop passes. They have the Raider top pick, so they have the 22nd pick. I think it's the 22nd pick. They can maybe draft the receiver. If Rodgers is worth $50 million, he'll make do with what – hey, listen, Brady got the Super Bowls with lousy receivers for a long time. If Rodgers is this good in an awful division and a bad conference, he'll figure something out with the other receivers he has to work with.
Stephen A., what do you think?
Well, I think his legacy is on the line because some of the changes that have been made are because of him. The reality of the situation is that the National Football League has a hard salary cap. Now, it's not the players' fault. The owners, being the cheap misers that they are, have a hard salary cap, and they leave it for the players to fight amongst themselves as to the pot that is available to them. But nevertheless, knowing that those rules were in place, Aaron Rodgers did what almost anybody would do. He took as much as the bag as he could possibly get. But with that comes a responsibility to get the job done. Now, it's not just on his shoulders. I'm sick and tired of Matt LaFleur being raved about, for crying out loud. If Aaron Rodgers wasn't your quarterback, what would you do? What would you be? Because we've seen 2 years ago him him take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands and on fourth down showing no guts whatsoever and being a prisoner and a hostage to the analytics, which made no sense at that particular moment, because if you're using the eyeball test, you leave the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. He's your franchise player. He's the face of your franchise. You say to him, okay, this is what we pay you for. Get the damn job done, period. And Matt LaFleur took the ball out of his hands and prevented him from doing that. And then this year, the special teams didn't just show up. Did just fail to show up against San Francisco. They were horrid all year. How the hell do you have 17 weeks? This is your job. Matt LaFleur doesn't have to run for any first downs or touchdowns. He doesn't have to catch any touchdown passes. He doesn't have to block for anybody. He doesn't have to sack anybody. He doesn't have to intercept the football. Your job is the damn coach. And somehow, some way, Matt LaFleur allowed the entire season to go on where he never, ever fixed the special teams. Week to week to week, they were consistently considered one of, if not the worst special teams in football. Matt LaFleur did nothing about it, and as an end result, it came back to bite them. And somehow, some way, we turn around. This coordinator is gone. This coach is gone. This coach is gone. But Matt LaFleur still stays. Okay? This man, as far as I'm concerned, is living off the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, which is why he did everything but get on his knees and pray to the skies in front of the masses that Aaron Rodgers stay in New York. I'm sorry, in Green Bay. That is what happened with Matt LaFleur. Then you go, and under your watch, you draft Jordan Love instead. said, of drafting some additional weapons to help buffer the team. Might go down as one of the worst picks ever because you just signed Aaron Rodgers. So not only has Jordan Love been sitting on the bench for 3 years, he's going to be sitting on the bench at least another 3 years. Well, go figure that out. So all of this stuff, it's not just about Aaron Rodgers. It's about Coach LaFleur, too. But in the end, it's about Aaron Rodgers. You're the one that got the bag. You took the money. You got to show up and find a way to get it done. Or we're going to remember that you did it.
That's Steve's right, 100%. Can you imagine Belichick with his little milk and cookies on Nantucket watching that game with the Packers with their special teams, block field goals, block punts, kickoffs back to the 50-yard line?
His dog.
Or Lombardi from upstairs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him watching that game and said, hold on now. We lost a playoff game in our building in bad weather against a warm weather team because of special teams? What? Belichick must have laughed all the way to the next morning to get his Boston Globe, for crying out loud. And he is 100% right at Memphis. LaFleur's performance last year in the postseason was awful.
Yeah.
He's right.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Awful. Horrible. One last point.
Yeah.
It was so awful, Elvis could have defended.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I have a question. Is Elvis an immortal?
Oh, yes. Is he an immortal?
I just want to know by your definition.
Presley, thank you. Yes, okay.
Is Stevie an immortal yet, or he's still working on it?
Well, on Wednesdays, since he's not trying to be on the show, he is an all-time great.
You're an all-time great.
Now, that doesn't mean I always agree with him, but he's an all-time great.
Yeah.
Somehow they're paying him a fortune to do this. He has levels to still go
to be an immortal
status. He got to do more than 8-9 years.
Yeah.
Let me see him in 3 decades, right, Stevie?
Okay. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Right now, we're going to take some complaints. But when this is all said and done, people are going to realize this is a thoughtful administration and we got it right. And so baseball, basketball, businesses, all of those things, they have to wait until that layer come. And right now, we're going to do it in the right way. We're going to follow the science. We're going to make the right decision.
All right, gentlemen, that was New York Mayor Eric Adams addressing the city's mandate that affects both Kyrie Irving in the Nets playoff run and whether he can participate in home games, along with Yankee superstar Aaron Judge, who has yet to say whether he's vaccinated. Russo, what do you think will happen with the mandate between now and opening day?
Well, let's say a couple things. It's okay. Not just Aaron Judge. You know, Anthony Rizzo doesn't I don't think he's gotten any vaccination shots either. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's a little cloudy.
Yep.
These players don't want to answer those questions.
Yeah.
But and those are two big players in the Yankees. They open up 2 weeks from tomorrow against the Red Sox. All right. I'm not knocking the Nets, but the Nets are not the Yankees. Okay.
Yeah.
The Yankees are one of the great franchises in all of sport. They're the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they are worth billions and billions of dollars. They've been here since
what?
1920.
What?
Oh, they are. Don't. These are the Yankees.
I mean, don't you on. Ever. Don't you ever. Ever. Ever what? Come what? On this show and right. mention the Dallas Cowboys in the right. same breath as the New York Yankees. Right.
Well, Stephen A.
Ever.
We're talking about worth. We're talking
ever.
About worth.
We're talking
I think,
about
no,
worth,
I think you're
Stephen.
Right. I think it goes Yankees. I got to Google it. But Yankees, Dallas Cowboys, I'm
that's
in the top
worth.
Two.
How much that worth? That worth
exactly.
made. That's what I'm talking
exactly.
about. I'm talking about championship.
I'm not talking about brand.
I'm not talking about freaking
talking
McCarthy.
About money.
I'm not talking about Prescott. I'm talking about Ruth Garrick and DiMaggio. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. 1960 okay. and right. 1920.
Right.
You're talking about the Bambino. These are okay. the New York Yankees, 161st Street, River Avenue. This is Yankee
Preach.
Stadium.
That's
I
right.
mean, these are the ghosts are.
That's right,
these
baby.
Are, this is the home office
Preach.
Of baseball, my
Preach.
Buddy John Sterling used to say.
Preach.
These are the Yankees.
Wait, time out.
The Yankees.
Were you just in
that's
a different
right.
background?
That's
all of
right.
A sudden,
yeah, now we're
didn't
looking at
your background
change? Where's the lights?
Where'd you go, Vegas?
I wasn't satisfied with the background, so I had them change it.
Oh, so they upgraded
that's right.
it.
That's
you
right.
look
that's
glorious.
Right.
It's a beautiful sunny
hold
day.
Hold
you're shining now. I'm happy
go
they did
take
upgrade.
Pictures of
I'm
the,
Stephen
go
A.
take pictures
I'm
of
Stephen
Presley
A.
billboards, for crying out loud, my God. The
listen,
photograph.
Hell
this
no.
guy, he just
hell
snaps.
No. I'm gonna,
listen,
I'm
he just
snaps start a
his
movement.
Fingers, and
gonna,
he gets the background he wants.
That's right. That's right. That's what I wanted. And I'm going to make them change these billboards from Elvis to Ja. You watch me do it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But go ahead, finish making your point.
Well, the bottom line is the Yankees have power. The Yankees
yeah.
have juice. Randy Levine is a pit bull. He's going to be on Eric Adams' case day in and day out. These aren't the Nets. I'm not knocking the Nets, but these are the New York Yankees. So if you're asking me right now, Judge and
yeah.
everybody else who's unvaccinated, I'm going to include Rizzo until they hear otherwise.
Yep.
Well, if you're telling me 2 weeks from tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when they're playing the Boston Red Sox, when there's 55,000 at Yankee Stadium, outside in the daytime, and opening day's a big deal, I would be pretty surprised if those two aren't in the lineup. I know they've put themselves in a corner. Obviously, they have, they fired the firemen
yeah.
and policemen and teachers who have not been vaccinated, so why is the big athlete get a break? Still, these are the Yankees who bring New York City a fortune. They represent New York City. And, you know, mm-hmm. Steinbrenner, Levine, the Yankees seem to think that they're play. So I do think that you'll see
wow.
those two guys.
You're
I
not
think,
buying the mayor. Okay.
No, but here's one thing I will buy. The Yankees are going to be in a pennant race with the Blue Jays in the American League East and the Red Sox
yes.
and, you know, Tampa.
Yeah. Preach.
And they're not going to play in Toronto.
Yeah.
So if Judge and Rizzo, they're not going to go across the border. You're not going to beat a country. It's one thing to beat a city,
yeah.
not beat a country. So I don't think they will play up in Toronto. But I don't know how Stevie thinks. He's a Yankee fan. I understand
yeah.
that. But I think 15 days from now, if you go to Yankee Stadium and you buy a $7 beer and your $15 hot dog, I think that Judge will be in the outfield and Rizzo will be at first base. How's that?
Well, here's my response. They better be. They better be because, listen, I like Mayor Adams. Thank God de Blasio is gone because I did not like him. I love the fact that Mayor Adams is the new mayor in New York City. But having said all of that, let me be very, very clear. Mayor Adams, you're looking foolish. Somebody's got to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. You're looking foolish because here's the reality of the situation. Let's just take it from on top of the fact that you have a bogus, idiotic rule that allows for visitors to come and actually play in the Barclays Center when a Kyrie Irving cannot play at the Barclays Center. And you have visiting baseball players from baseball teams that can come into Yankee Stadium and play, but Aaron Judge and Rizzo and them wouldn't be able to play. It's nonsensical, particularly when you consider the fact that fans can come in even though they're not vaccinated. Kyrie Irving can come in the building and get a seat to the game, not even wearing a mask, and that's not in violation of anything. But somehow, some way, he can't play at the Barclays Center. Man, Adams, sometimes you're just trying to be hardcore, and you're just trying to show that you're not going to wilt or bend to public pressure. It doesn't make you smarter, though, sir. I'm telling you that right now. You're a smart man. I'm happy that you're the mayor, but you look utterly foolish with this stance. And then when you take into account that it's baseball that we're talking about here, just look at this, guys. They talk about even in the worst of times, they talked about wearing a mask, engaging in social distancing, trying to be outdoors and keeping yourself 6 feet apart. Doggy knows this. Every position on a baseball field is more than 6 feet apart. From the catcher to the pitcher to the first baseman to second base to shortstop to third base, left field, right field, center field. Everybody's more than 6 feet apart and you're outdoors. So that is just absolutely positively asinine. Just because you're the mayor and there's a rule in place, well, guess what? You have the power to change it. Why are you capitulating and acquiescing to a policy you didn't even implement? It ain't your policy. And Mayor Adams, I thought that de Blasio was out. I thought that you were the mayor. Why are you holding on to policies that he implemented? They ain't yours. You the mayor now. You have the power to change. You have the power to make sense. You have the power to show up and act like you have some damn sense. And right now, it just doesn't look good. Having said all of that, he shouldn't change the policy because of a player. He shouldn't change the policy because of a team. He should change the policy because it's stupid. Kate, you know, you got elementary school kids that are no longer operating under the mandate. You've got restaurants and bars and lounges in New York City who are no longer operating under the mandate. I would know. I've been to them. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you have an obligation to make sense as opposed to showing that you hardcore. And I suspect he's trying to be a little bit hard in part, not totally, but in part because of KD opening his mouth a few weeks ago when he's talking about he better get it together. He said, no, I don't better get it together. I will move at my own pace and nobody will dictate that. But these are the kind of things that's happened. And as a result, we're going to see what transpires, but there's no reason on earth for this policy to be in place with Aaron Judge. There's no reason whatsoever. Let me say this one last thing about Kyrie Irving, because even though I support the mandate being lifted and him playing, I took the liberty of speaking to a couple of Hall of Famers yesterday, along with a modern player, a star that's in the game today. And, you know, I asked them all three the same question because they all felt that I was being a little bit too hard. Come on, man. Kyrie. I said, look, man, I love ball and I want to see spectacular players playing ball. So I asked them this one question, Doggy and Molly. Mm-hmm. I said, if he were on your team back in the day and all of y'all took the vaccine and he didn't, what would y'all do? Do you know what the player said to me? Hall of Famer. He said, we would have snatched his ass up. We would have put him in a chair, tied him to the damn chair if we had to, and we would have gave him the damn vaccine ourselves. He would have been ticked off. He 100%. Probably wouldn't have spoken to us for the rest of the season. But you know what, Stephen A? He would have been on the court, and he would have been playing because there's no way in hell he would have gotten away with that. I asked a modern player who's a superstar in the league, What would you do right now if Kyrie was your teammate? You know what they said? The same damn thing the Hall of Famer said. So people might not be coming out and speaking against Kyrie Irving because he's their contemporary and we're the media, we're the enemy, and all of this other stuff. But everybody knows at the end of the day, as stupid and asinine as this policy is, and as much as it should be lifted, it does not negate the fact that Kyrie Irving comes across selfish as hell about himself. And he's leaving his teammates, and in particular, his superstar teammate, Kevin Durant, hanging. He may cost the Brooklyn Nets the championship. That is the issue. when it comes to Kyrie Irving. The rest of the stuff is mandate, is Mayor Adams needing to get on his game and do the right thing.
Yeah, he's 100% right. The guy's making $40 million a year. He's not playing basketball. Yeah. I mean, and Durant, if Durant really had some guts here, you know what Durant should say? Hey, come on. I'm here because of you. We ain't winning without you. Get the shots. This should have been done months ago.
Yeah, but for the Yankees, I feel like it's even worse, though, because they're outside.
Well, the mandate is a judge. Yeah, Stephen A., here with you. Martin Luther King, here.
By the way,
100%, you know those guys should play.
We're talking about the Yankees, Cowboys. You know that the Mets have a higher payroll than the Yankees now?
Cohen's got $13 billion. He makes as much as he does.
Yankees are third now. It's Dodgers, Mets.
I know.
That don't mean they're going to win.
That
don't mean they're going to win.
Spoken from a true Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll keep it going, guys.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.